This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
New Hampshire Victor Mitt Romney says the nation faces a choice between a European-style social welfare state and free market capitalism. Is he right?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, how did an Austrian gun become one of the most popular weapons in America? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are lower at the open this morning. The Dow down 30 points, about a quarter of a percent at 12,432. The NASDAQ down just slightly, and the S&P 500 down about two-tenths of a percent. Now let's get to the big story this morning, which would be Mitt Romney's victory in the New Hampshire primary last night. Our regular Wednesday guest, Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, is with us live from New York to dig into some of the criticism Romney laid out last night. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
So I want to play you something Romney said last night about the potential economic choice between him and President Obama.
He wants to turn America into a European-style social welfare state. We want to ensure that we remain a free and prosperous land of opportunity.
So, Josh Brown, a European-style social welfare state, is that what the folks like you on Wall Street think is happening?
You know, there's always a little bit of concern from anyone on Wall Street when they see things like healthcare plans, et cetera. But I don't think that anyone believes that that's where we are right now. That really sounds more like Romney preaching to the Tea Party that has not quite come his way just yet.
Well, how much control do you see the president, whoever it is, whether it's Romney or Paul or somebody else or President Obama, come 2012, how much power do they have over the economy?
Jeremy, here's the dirty little secret. The truth is they can make things really, really worse, but there's very little they can do to improve things. So typically, when you look at who's in the White House, who controls Congress, it's all a myth. There is no correlation. No one is any better than anyone else between Democrats and Republicans. As a matter of fact, if you would have said back in 2008, I can't believe they're going to elect Obama. He's anti-business. He's anti-capitalism. In the meantime, the S&P 500 is up over 50% since January of 2009 when Obama was sworn into office. So I think the president's impact on the economy is not quite what politicians would like it to be.
Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, this morning, Hostess Brands, which makes Twinkies and Wonder Bread, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection for the second time. And as Marketplace's Adrian Hill tells us, there's a name for that.
Who says that bankruptcy experts don't have a sense of humor? You've heard about Chapter 11. How about Chapter 22?
It's a made-up term. It doesn't have any real meaning in the law or anywhere else. And it's somewhat of a joke based on firms going into Chapter 11 two times. So 2 times 11 is 22.
Edie Hotchkiss is a finance professor at Boston College's Carroll School of Management. There are a few Chapter 33s.
I think there may even be a Chapter 44 out there.
Companies bounce in and out of Chapter 11 for a couple of reasons. Sometimes it's an industry issue, downturns causing trouble. Hotchkiss says airlines are a good example of that. Other times, that first Chapter 11 filing creates a tough path forward.
The companies that emerge from the first Chapter 11 emerge weak.
Stephen Walt is a law professor at UVA. He says companies often leave bankruptcy with a whole lot of debt, making it that much easier to get in trouble a second or third or even fourth time. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com.
Even if you're not a gun owner, you've probably heard about the Glock, which is one of the most popular handguns in the country. A Glock 19 was used in the attack on Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords 1 year ago. Paul Barrett of Bloomberg Businessweek has just written a history of the weapon called Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. Paul Barrett, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you write that Glock is the Google of modern civilian handguns. Explain that.
Well, I think if you say the word Glock to pretty much any American, they'll know that it's a black plastic, a semi-automatic pistol. And I think that that is really what distinguishes the Glock. It has come to stand for modern handgun in the richest handgun market in the world, the United States.
And it's an Austrian company. How did it become such a big deal in the U.S.?
In the mid-80s, police departments all across the United States felt that they were outgunned, that their officers were no longer adequately equipped with the traditional Smith & Wesson revolver, which has only five or six rounds in it. And here came Gaston Glock. He said, "I have the pistol of the future. It carries 17 rounds in the magazine, and you need to have it." Like a lot of marketing fads, it caught on very quickly. And once the police were using it, civilians who like to look to the police as a model came along as well.
Now, you mentioned that it is more expensive than an ordinary gun. It's lighter, and it also has a large capacity for ammunition. So has it had an effect on the entire industry? Has it made all guns more dangerous, for example?
There's different ways you can describe guns. The flip side of dangerous is effective. I mean, guns are designed to shoot bullets, which can kill people. In that sense, it has led a trend all across the industry toward more potent, higher capacity handguns. That is absolutely true. And if you think that's a good thing because you're a gun proponent, the Glock is to get credit. If you think that's a bad thing because you're a gun control proponent, well, then the Glock is to be blamed for it. But the basic answer is yes, the Glock revolutionized the handgun market in the United States and all around the world.
Paul Barrett is the author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. Paul Barrett, thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And finally, back to politics, where some things never change, like this line Mitt Romney delivered in his victory speech last night.
"You know, tonight we celebrate, tomorrow we go back to work."
Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said the exact same thing when he won re-election back in 2005.
"Tonight we celebrate, tomorrow we go back to work."
Also last night, by the way, John Huntsman used the song Beautiful Day by U2 at his rally. That song was also used by John Kerry back in 2004.
It's a beautiful day.
In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's expensive to run a political campaign. There's staff and ads don't come cheap, but be that as it may, money is still no guarantee.
I tell candidates, it's always better to be the candidate with the most money, but you can win without it.
I'm Kai Rizdal, money and politics a la Freakonomics. The numbers from Wall Street as well. That's next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.